It is the birth of our Lord that is God's greatest miracle. But what was God's purpose in sending his only begotten Son into the world? To answer this question and many others, join Pastor Paul and the Word Mission Church family on yet another insightful message.
His presence is so strong here this morning. There are angels all around. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And I trust that you had a blessed week. And that God will reveal himself to you. You see, Jesus didn't come to take a vacation. No. He came for the redemption of mankind. He came to bring us into God's very best. To bring us into the presence of God. To bring us into all that God has for our life. And don't give up yet. You see, God is never late. God is never late. Everything that he has packaged for your life in this year, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that it will not pass you by. We have 15 days left in the year. And you may be wondering and asking yourself, what happened to the year? What happened to the goals, the dreams, and the visions that I have for the year? What happened to what God said about for my life? I am here to assure you this morning, it took God only 7 days to create the world. It won't take him that long to fulfill all that he has planned for your life this year. If you believe that, say amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everything that he created within 7 days, the chaos had been turned to beauty. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that for the remaining days of this year, may God fulfill all that he has planned for your life. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. My. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I am excited. Glory be to God. Well, let's get into our Bible lesson today. Let's turn our Bible. You see, the thing that you have to realize is there are so many things that God has planned and ordained for our lives. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. He says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. Notice the phrase, things that accompany salvation. Things that accompany salvation. Put that together with Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Things that accompany salvation. If he did not spare his own son, but gave him freely to us, how will he not? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, there are things that accompany salvation. Now, there are things that God wants to give to us in addition to Jesus Christ. And this season, most of us will receive Christmas gifts. And I pray that in addition to that, may you receive the best gift that God has for your life in this season. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. With him, also freely give us all things. You see, the nature of God is to give. And he gave and gave and gave his very best. He had only one son, which was Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But he says, in addition to him, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So why did he come? Why did he come? What are some of the things that he came to do for us? So important for us to discover that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that everything that has been made, freely available to you, may it be released to you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. May you go through the remaining days of this year and the next upcoming year and experience God's very best. Jesus came to show us the way forward. He came to show us the way out. Number one, we came to save us from our sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Thank you, Lord. Why did Jesus Christ come? Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And the Bible says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Everybody, he came to save them. See, look at how sin is devastating the world. Look at the destruction that sin is causing in the world. The Bible says that he came to save his people from their sins. Notice what he says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11. Thank you, Lord. He says, who being, talking about Jesus, the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. My Lord, this just jumped out on me. If he is upholding all things by the word of his power, he can uphold you as well. Yes. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. When he had noticed the phrase, purged our sin. When he has solved the sin problem, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The sin issue has been solved by the coming of Jesus Christ and by his death and resurrection and his ascension. Notice again, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 9, verse 12. He says, not with the blood of goats and cows. That's good news. Aren't you glad? But with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. With his own blood. Not with the blood of goats and calves. They couldn't solve the sin issue. But with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And then in verse 28, in the same Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, he says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. This morning, the sin issue has been solved. If you are watching us or if you are listening to this, the sin issue has been solved. If you are weighed down by sin, once for all, he came to bear the sin of many once and for all. The most meanest person, the most wicked person, the most sinful person walking on the streets, Jesus, think about it, has already paid the price for their sin. All they have to do is to receive it And that is for me the joy. Like this week when we're going out into the community and seeing people give their life to the Lord. The joy. And they experience and the remission of their sins. Came to bear the sins of many once and for all. Number two. He came to restore joy. To restore joy. Luke chapter 2 verse 10. Luke chapter 2 verse 10. Luke chapter 2 verse 10. Thank you, Lord. He said, the Bible says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. My. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am bringing you good news of great joy, which will only be for a few. No. Oh, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy to all people. Jesus is the only true fountain of joy. He's the only one that can give joy. And wherever the gospel goes, wherever this glad tidings goes, wherever this good news goes, you can see people experience joy. And you as the messenger of Christ as well, when you lead people to the Lord, you experience joy. Notice what happened in Samaria, in Acts chapter 8, thank you, Lord, verse 5. He says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, one person, and preached Christ to them. And the multitude, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. That was what Luke was talking about. There was great joy in Samaria. The Bible says when they received the word of God. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, this season may you experience the joy of the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, in every area of your life. Oh, that which causes sorrow, that which causes pain, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that may you experience the joy of the Lord. May you trade those garments of heaviness for the spirit of joy. Oh, may you trade that sorrow for joy. Trade that garment of heaviness for the spirit of praise, for the garment of praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's what Peter experienced in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Thank you, Lord. And this is what he was talking about Jesus. He says, whom, having not seen, you love. Though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You have not yet seen Jesus with your physical eye, but you love him so much from the bottom of your heart. You love him so much. And he says, though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Sometimes when you believe God for the promise of God, when you believe, I mean, when you are walking by faith and you believe the word of God, you believe his promise, you believe what he has said concerning your life will come to pass. Sometimes in the natural, you may not have seen anything, but you look at Jesus Christ. You look at his promise. You look at his word. Oh, and you know, and you know, and you know, and you know that his word will be fulfilled in your life. He says, whom you have not seen, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full. Believing the word of God when you have not yet seen the manifestation of it with joy. Because the word of God is the source of true joy. The word of God is where we can get our joy. And so you look at Jesus. You tune everything else up. And you fix your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
You fix your eyes on his word.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, joy that comes from within, joy that is not dependent on your external circumstances, joy that is dependent on the word of God, joy that is dependent on his word, begins to rise up from the inside of you, and you begin to laugh. And you begin to draw out of the wells of salvation. Like he says in Isaiah 12:3. The enemy will like you to look at the external circumstances. He will like you to look on the outside. Oh, but you choose to look at Jesus. You choose to look at his word. You choose to look at his promises. You choose to rejoice. Ah, joy to all people. And that includes you and I. Joy to all people. That includes me. Oh, and then he continues to say in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Sooner or later, you will see the end of your faith. You will see what you have believed God for. It will transfer from the spiritual realm into this material realm. You will receive the end of your faith. I pray this morning, receive the end of your faith. Receive joy inexpressible. Full of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Whom you have not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Because Isaiah 12:3 says that with joy, you draw out of the wells of salvation. Not just one well. Wells of deliverance. That word salvation encompasses the whole program of God. It encompasses the whole plan of God. With joy you draw out, whom not seen, yet you believe. With joy you draw out of the wells of salvation. Don't let him shut off your joy. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you experience. The Bible says in Psalm 16 verse 11, that in his presence we experience the fullness of joy. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures and forevermore. Not just a few days. Forevermore. May you not miss his presence and his and God in this season. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Number three, he came to restore the peace of God to mankind. After the fall of man, the world has been in crisis and unrest. Man has been went into a crisis, but he came to restore peace. I pray that the peace of God will be your portion in this season. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, he says, Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. On earth peace, peace. Peace, peace, on earth peace, and goodwill toward man. I pray, when you are saved, you see, the peace of God comes into your heart. It's not something you are trying to get. You already have that peace in there. And that peace is not dependent on external circumstances either. It's dependent on the word of God. In this world, you'll have trouble, Jesus Christ said. He didn't say you won't have trouble. John chapter 16, verse 33. He didn't say you wouldn't have trouble. You have tests. You have tribulations. He says, these things are spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world for you. You have tests, you have trials, but be of good cheer. It comes back to the joy question again. We are back there again. You have all these tests, but be of good cheer. When you look at Jesus and you consider the fact that he has overcome the world, then you relax. You are peaceful. In me, peace. Peace. I tell you, peace can only be found in Jesus. When you have true peace, it's a wonderful thing. It's not a feeling. When you look in your heart, and sometimes you're talking with my heart, I say, thank God for peace. Everything is well. Thank God for peace. Money cannot buy that kind of peace. No, peace can only be found in Jesus Christ. Some people in the world, when it's day, they wish it's night. So when it is night, they wish it's day. Trouble on all sides with no hope. But for us, because Jesus Christ came, we have peace in our heart. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace that when you get to that point, when you may be faced with the Red Sea, the impossible. Like the children of Israel at the Red Sea. God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Egyptians that you see today, you will see them no more. Stand still and see my salvation. Stand still, be at peace and see my salvation. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we get to a place where we forget that he is still God. He hasn't stopped being God. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. And he is the same forever. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. May the peace of the Lord that passes all understanding be your portion from this morning onwards and forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
May you never miss the peace of God. In your life, he came to restore. That's in Luke 2:14. Number four, came to restore goodwill back to mankind. God, when he looks on us, he looks on us from a standpoint of goodwill. Adam and Eve missed it, and the wrath of God was abiding on man. But Jesus Christ came to restore goodwill to mankind. He longs to do us good. And I pray that you will receive his goodness. Settle that in your heart this morning. God is a good God. Let's all say that this morning. God is a good God. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's start from the prior verses. It will make it even more clearer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. He says, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Think about it. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? if no natural parent wants to do bad to their children, God want, he's so long. We are back to where we started. If he did not spare his own son, but gave him truth to us, how will he not, in addition to him, freely give us all things? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good, but no, good comes from God. In James 1, he talks about the fact that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness or change. If it is good, it comes from God. How much more would he give, will your Heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good? Give good. We know how to give good gifts. I tell you, God is a good God. The psalmist said, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience, taste for yourself. Sometimes, just yesterday, I was pondering over, I said, God, you have been good. You are a good Father. God is a good God. Don't blame him for the bad in your life. He's so good. He sent his son Jesus, and in addition, he wants to shower his gifts on us. Notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus was a reflection of the Father. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what? Good. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. How much more? How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, reflecting who the Father was, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And this morning I have come to announce to you that this Father, this Jesus, is still the same. He wants to release good to you. He wants to do you good. I pray you place yourself in a position to receive his goodness this morning. Lord, if you are looking for somebody to show yourself good, to show yourself strong, the Bible says he looks through the earth. He looks through the earth. His compassion, he wants to shower his goodness on us. He looks throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of his people. In the name of Jesus Christ, may his goodness find you this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the enemy, for God was with him. Number five, he comes to give us life, and life as it very best. John chapter 10, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Let this settle in your heart. This is the reason why Jesus Christ came. He says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen. That is the job of the thief. He calls the devil the thief. He wants to steal your health. He wants to steal your family. He wants to steal your family. And he wants to steal your joy, your peace, all these things. And then to kill and to destroy. The destruction in the world has a source of of the enemy, which is the thief. Anything that looks like stealing, like killing, and destruction in your life doesn't come from God. Don't mix it. But I have come that they may have life. That word there in the Greek is Zoe, the very life of God, the very nature of God. I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. May have the very life of God and have it more abundantly. Till it overflows. It says, the previous verse talks about, and then the next verse, very next verse, verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, not the bad shepherd. The good shepherd. I want you to settle in your heart that God is a good God. Jesus is a good Jesus. God is a good God. He gives his life for the sheep. And then he continues to say in Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Thank you, Lord. We looked at the blessing a couple of weeks ago. But verse 25 says, you are sons of the prophet. And of the covenant which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, put your name there, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. Put your name there. In turning every one of you from your iniquities. He sent Jesus to bless me. He sent Jesus to bless you. He sent Jesus to do you good. Oh, my Lord, I put my name there and I say, I'm a blessed man. I am blessed, and through me, nations are blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. You say, maybe I'm not experiencing the blessing of God in my life. Begin to call yourself blessed and agree with God. And sooner or later, it will begin to show in your life. Unto you first. What did he send Jesus for? To bless you. To bless you. To experience the blessing that was lost in the garden. To experience the blessing in every area of your life. So that your life can be a blessing to others as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Goodwill has been restored to man. I pray beginning from this morning, may the blessings of Christ begin to manifest in your life from now till the next Christmas and all throughout your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Number six. He came to restore the glory that man had lost in the beginning. To restore man back to the realm of the miracle. Notice what he says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Thank you, Father. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Amen. It says, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things. I like that. All things. And by whom are all things. In bringing many sons to glory. Not to shame. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. He came to bring many children to glory, not to shame. Adam and Eve were covered by the glory of God. They didn't even know that they didn't have clothes. The glory of God had enveloped them. And he's saying here that he came to bring many sons to glory. He's not ashamed to call us brethren, because we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The same glory that he inherited. We have inherited the same glory. That is the same glory that is on our lives. Sometimes when I get into the presence of people who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they get convicted. They somehow sense something when they come into our presence. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden they'll begin, when I was in high school, they'll call me pastor. As soon as I get there, they'll make the sign of the cross and they'll straighten up. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, may the glory of God be so over your life that when people come into your presence, they will sense the presence of God and begin to ask and say, what must I do to be saved? There is something different about your life. It is the glory of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And in verse 13, he's quoting Isaiah, but he didn't finish quoting. He says, and again, here am I, and the children whom God has given me. The full text is in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. You have been called into a realm of signs and wonders. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Thank you, Father. He says, here am I, and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, I decree and declare that you and I, we are for signs and wonders in this land. Oh, the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and the children of God. And in the mighty name of Jesus, beginning with us, this city will begin to see the God of glory. They will begin to see signs and wonders. They will begin to see the hand of God at work in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are not meant for shame and reproach. Every trace of shame and reproach in your life, in the mighty name of Jesus, may God take it away, and may he use you as a sign and a wonder in this generation. He said, these signs shall accompany those who believe. May these signs begin to accompany you, beginning right from this moment, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I and the children that God has given me, we are for signs and wonders. Yes. My Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in bringing many sons to glory. My Lord, notice what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I like the way you are pulling the thing out. You are soaking this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans 8:28. He says, and we know. Every time you see that, I see that phrase in the Bible. We are sure. That all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Yeah. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Yes.
Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. My Lord and my God, I pray that the same glory that was manifested when Jesus Christ came to the earth, he says he has called you, those he also called, he went up glorifying them. As you set your love on God in this season, I pray, he says here, all things work together for good. Some reason, somehow, this word good keeps coming back to me. All things. Family things. Health things. Financial things. Everything works together for good to those who love God. This morning, you set your love on God. As you set your love on him, I pray may everything begin that is not working, may it begin to work in your life.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus, he wishes above all we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. May you experience the goodness of God in this season. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And then number 7, he came to restore divine, his presence back to mankind. Remember, he was talking about Jesus in Acts 10:38, how God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. And God is with us. In Isaiah, the coming of Jesus meant that the presence of God has been restored to us. Notice what he says, Isaiah prophesying way ahead. In Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. He's with you in the morning. He's with you in the afternoon. He's with you at night. You are never left alone. You are never alone. And the presence of God with you, I tell you, makes all the difference in life. It makes all the difference when God is with you. You see, the thing that God was working on was to fellowship with man. He created man to fellowship. He longs to be close to us. He longs to reveal himself to us. He longs to have fellowship with us, a close walk with us. You have no idea how he longs for that. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, God is faithful. God is faithful. I thank God he is faithful. Man may disappoint you, but God will not disappoint you. God is faithful, by whom you were called. Romans are talking about the fact that we were called. We were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That was the reason why Jesus Christ came. God's presence in the Old Testament was shut up in the holies of holies. And even then, only the priest could go there once a year and very carefully. But when Jesus Christ came, he called him Emmanuel, God with us. He's called us into fellowship. That word there, fellowship, in the Greek is koinonia. That means close and intimate relationship. To drink out of the same cup. He wants to be close to you. He wants to help you with life's burden. He wants to walk with you so close. You talk to him, he talks back to you. The wisdom that you need, the guidance that you need, your needs in life being met, he wants to do all that for you. You are called into the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. That word for communion is the same word that is used for fellowship in 1 Corinthians 1:9. The communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Learn to commune with him. In the morning, all throughout your day, this season, don't drop your spiritual life. Continue and maintain your communion with the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He longs to do that. When you discover the heart of the Father, how he wants to fellowship with us. The Holy Spirit, that is why he sent him. Turn to John chapter 14. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 14. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 14. Verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We have an advantage in the New Testament. He actually lives in us. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father. And you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him. Notice the phrase, and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That is what God was working on. He wants to make his home with you. He wants to fellowship. That is why he sent Jesus Christ to make that possible. When he's living with you, life is different. When you are living and you are in fellowship with him, he will take care of you like no one else can. Make our home with him. Think about it. Think about it. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit abiding with you and revealing themselves to you. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that may God reveal himself to you. Oh, may he make himself more real to you than even the people around you, than natural things. We will manifest ourselves to him. But notice he says, he keeps going back to love me, keep my word, keep my commandments. You fulfill your part of the deal, I will be sure to fulfill my part of the deal. Take responsibility for your part of it. My side will never fail. We will love him, we'll come to him, and make our home with him. All with him. And manifest. I pray that may God manifest himself to you. May he reveal himself to you. And for us, he said, you were talking about the Holy Spirit. He'll not leave you as orphans. He will be with you and be in you. You are never left as an orphan. You are never left without help. Jesus, in the person of his Holy Spirit, indwells you. And the good news is, 1 John 4:4, the one who lives in you is greater than the one in the world. He's greater than every test. He's greater than every trial. He's greater than every temptation. And like I started in the beginning with, he's never late. It's only over when you say it's over. Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus, and the people were panicking for Jesus. He has been dead for 4 days. His body is beginning to stink. Jesus said, this is no problem at all. This is easy. Think about Mary, a virgin, could give birth to Jesus, then what is the thing that you are faced with? It's easy. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. He says, I will put my trust in him. Put your trust in God. He will never leave you. Go or forsake you. God is faithful.
He's faithful.
But he says, for those who love me, for those who keep my commandment, I will manifest myself to them. All things will work together for good. We serve a good God. Settle that. I just came to that realization yesterday. I say that to myself so often, but I say, God, you are a good God. You are a good God. If he did not spare his son, but gave him freely to us, how would he not with him freely give us all things? My prayer is, God's heart, that he's a given is who he is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He gave his son, and he keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. And we get to that point where we say, Lord, you've given us life, and life more abundantly. Now we yield our lives to you. Now we give our lives to you. Take my life and do something with it. Take my life and use it for your glory. My life is yielded to you. You are the one that I love. Though I don't see you, I love you. Though I don't see you, I love you. And though I don't see you, I believe you. And I know that I will see the end of my faith. I will see the end. Surely there's an end. And your expectation will not be cut off. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. For the joy that was set before him, he despised the cross. He despised the shame. Enduring the cross, you and I were the joy that he saw. He cares about you. How much more may you receive a gift from God in addition to the Lord Jesus? In this season, that you testify and say, this must be God. Anything that's standing in your life that stares at you and says, where is your God? In the mighty name of Jesus, may God step in and turn it around. May you see his goodness. May you see his hand. May you see his faithfulness. May you see all that he has for you. May you experience joy. Inexpressible and full of glory. As you set your love on the Lord, as you set yourself all, set your mind and your affection on God. May you experience His very best. May you testify and say, God is good. God has been good. And God continues to be good. You see, continuity is the key of the game. Loving God and keeping your eyes on Him, no matter what you may be surrounded with. And saying that, Lord, You are the one that I love. You gave your very best. Now I give my very best to you. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Talk to God this morning. Think about what you have heard. This is so important. This is so vital for us. If He did not spare His Son, but gave Him up for us, how would He not, in addition to Him, freely give us all? If we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more? How much more?
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Word Mission Church International. If you're in the Colorado Springs area, we invite you to join us this morning at 10 a.m. Word Mission Church International is located off of Edison Avenue at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80915. For more messages like this, be sure to visit our website at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. If you are in need of a Bible, stop by our church at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, on Saturday at 6 p.m. or Sunday at 10 a.m., and we'll be glad to bless you with a new Bible. If this message was a blessing and the Lord leads you to partner with us in spreading God's Word, simply text the word GIVE to 719-215-8338. For a tax-deductible gift to the ministry, give to 719-215-8338. Remember to visit the website, www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. Also, let us know how this message was a blessing and how we can help further. Stay blessed. Word Mission Church International. Bible-rich sermons, authentic fellowship.